Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. And we're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, and now you can win cash with their over-under game. Just head over to Sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join SGPN Group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's Sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to go download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All right, welcome back, D-Gens, for the PGA Championship recap and Colonial Preview Show. It's your boy, Boston Cap, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, I know you did well this weekend. How are you feeling, dude?
I mean, I did well today. I wouldn't say I did well the entire weekend. We need to address that.
Yeah, that's fine.
On the show, but no, I feel like I just got into a car wreck. I mean, I actually got a car wreck this week, but no, that was a very, very entertaining final round. I wouldn't necessarily say very good golf final round.
No, but, I would agree with that. Yeah,
yeah, but hey, listen, sometimes bad golf is really entertaining. So, yeah that was pretty good. Congratulations to Justin Thomas for winning PGA Championship. I don't know if he won it.
He won it. He won it. Five years from now, we're not going to remember. It's just going to say JT, PGA, champion. That's it.
Oh, I disagree. I think we're going to remember what happened to him. There's a lot of guys who are goats that we're going to get to.
Remember that Mito swing on 18? Yeah. What the fuck was that?
Yeah. Remember when you put a swing on it? Like I'm trying to slice it five fairways over.
What was that?
We'll get to him. But let's talk about JT for a second. So I was getting ready to come on this show today and just kill the guy.
Yep.
He played so bad yesterday. Just flaccid. Flaccid Fleetwood bad.
Like, hey, Fleetwood was not flaccid today.
No, he wasn't. He won a bet for me, and we'll talk about a little later. But, I mean, just putter wasn't working. He was just leaving stuff in the bunker. Like, that. How he played 13 yesterday, the par 5, was disgusting. So I actually missed it. So I went to go grill a steak. Did he shank it into a tree?
Yes.
Okay. And then punch out and then left a wedge into the bunker. Like, that was, I was just like, you're done. It's over at that point.
Yeah. Looked like
it. But, like, good for him. Came back to win. I don't know. What was your impression of the whole thing?
I mean, look, it's fine. Like, I mean, he did what we expect Rory to do. I mean, look, he went out, like I said, when you texted me earlier today about, like, you were going to rip him, I was like, well, I mean, he at least had a terrible weather wave. You got to give him a little pass for that. Like, he played really well, and he got the shitty draw. He really did. Like, that was a bad draw.
And, it was.
And he went out, put his big boy pants on, and fucking posted the low round on Friday for the bad weather. So, I mean, you got to give him credit for that. But you're right. But when you came back and played just like shit on Saturday, he did. Maybe it was like leftover, he was so mentally exhausted from having to focus so hard on Friday. But listen, he went out today, he saw that fucking leaderboard and it was like, this thing is coming back. You know what I mean? And he was like, if I can post the number, I really thought he was going to get the 6 under. But yeah, I mean, look, man, congrats to JT, man. Look, he did what he did. I had no pad of him. Wasn't going to bet him this week. I don't think I had any of them in DraftKings. I mean, I went super heavy on the playoff.
Yes.
The largest, the largest bet I've ever laid on a matchup in golf. That's for goddamn sure. It wasn't even close. That was a great sweat.
Yeah, very nerve-wracking when you're betting 8 units.
Yeah, it was fucking, right there. It's fucking insane. And then he put it in the rough right after I did it. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
It's funny how that always happens, right?
Yeah.
But he got up and down.
And dude, it was beautiful. I the nerdy golf shit, like, I love that. Like, listening to him and Bones talk and go over shots and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
And he was like, all right, nice little nine. I was like, nice little line. You got to go for the, I was like, no, all right, fine. Like, whatever. Give yourself a nice wedge in. And then he fucking didn't stuff it, but he put it good enough where, what is it, 10 feet? You know what I mean? 10, 12 feet?
It was like 7 feet. Yeah.
Brother, okay.
Six, seven. Yeah, that was a great wedge. That's what he had to do. That's probably what he should have did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
13, but. Side note, by the way, I sent this message to you, but PJ Tour, hey, like, if we have a playoff at TPC River Highlands in a couple weeks again, can we follow what the PJ Championship did with this aggregate playoff as far as like the how they did it?
Yeah,
par 5, drivable par 4, and then the toughest hole on the golf course.
Absolutely,
with water, perfect drama.
Perfect,
it was great.
Perfect, like, no more sudden death bullshit. Like, give me, like you said, that's exactly how we should always be. I remember when the NHL brought the shootout in to settle shit and everybody lost their fucking mind. And this should be universally adopted at every tournament. Give me 3 holes, because these guys work for 4 fucking days, man. Give them 3 holes. Give them one, give them a mulligan, right? Like, give them one bad hole. Give them 3 holes to prove who is sharper. You know what I mean? Like, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect, and it should absolutely be adopted. What was the place we were talking about where it was fucking par? It was English and
River Highlands.
Yeah,
because they played 18 over and over. That just no one was getting birdie.
No,
and no one was bogeying either. They played 17 with the water, and everybody played safe with it, and that's why it went like 11 holes.
Oh my god, it went it was so long.
So no, the PGA has it right. The Open Championship also has it right. At St. Andrews, we get a playoff. Remember the one in 2015? They
played
1-2-17, which is a road hole, and then 18 is basically a drivable par 4-2. We get a playoff. That's pretty exciting as well. That's a 4-hole aggregate. The USGA also, I think, adopted a 4-hole aggregate too. They don't do 18 holes on Monday, which I always kind of like that. But, and then the Masters is the only one that's sudden death now, but. No, that was right.
I mean all tournaments, not just the majors.
Okay, I know, all tournaments. I'm talking about, But, no, listen, 2 majors for JT. I did an over-under majors podcast with, Andy Lack that's gonna, I think, come out this week because he's off, on vacation. Congratulations to Andy. He picked JT pre-tournament, cashed that big. Good for him. But, so JT obviously was part of our over-under, majors. So I'll ask you the question. Over-under, 4.5 majors for JT.
So 3 more?
3 more.
I'll take the over.
Okay.
I'll take the over. He's got the game. And so, like, he's proven, like, he played the bad weather at TPC. He played the bad weather here. He's proved he's mentally tough. Right. Whether he executes correctly or not is a different story. Right. But all world iron player, if that putter is even remotely okay, like, he can definitely do it.
Okay. I'm still going to go under, and there's just a lot of really good golfers.
Yeah, I know. But
why. I mean, look, like, you got Cam Young, Zalatoris, Davis Riley also played well this week. That's another really young guy. You know, he's still got, you know, Rory,
get out of here. Rory's not winning.
We'll talk about him. You got Morikawa. You got Hovland. You got Scheffler. You got Joaquin Niemann, who played well.
Joaquin Niemann's not winning the fucking major either.
He might win a major.
He's not going to win a major.
I disagree. But the point is, like, I think JT's what? He's going to be 30 next year.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of really good players.
I agree.
And, you know, next month we might say it's Rom's turn or it's Morikawa's turn. Like, I'm just going to go keep back and forth with all this
stuff. I just think winning is a skill in golf.
I mean, that was the first time he won in like 15 months, though.
Yeah, but he's, how many times has he won? You know what I mean? He's already won a major.
That's true. He's won a lot.
And I think winning is an actual skill in golf, like knowing how to play from the front or chase down people and having the mindset to be able to do that. Like, I think that's a legit thing. Like, I do. I think that's like, I know it's unquantifiable, but I think it's real. So it's the same thing like clutch in baseball for me. Like, you're either clutch or you're not.
All right. Well, one person could call it, you know, running someone down, and someone else could say, just give it to him. And we're going to talk about the guys that gave him his second major right after this break.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're fine. All right. Well, listen, going to talk to you guys about WinBet. Make sure to get down on the wins. Bet $50 to win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 of free bets. Plus, the WinBet Casino is offering a 100% deposit bonus up to a G. All users will receive a $20 free bet when they win, lose, or push a three-leg or longer build your own bet parlay between Thursday and Saturday. Players can take advantage of the offer on the NBA playoffs. And don't forget, the Max is coming to the Win, and you can bet on it on WinBet. It's Tom Brady, the GOAT, and Aaron Rodgers, -200 favorites over baby Josh Allen and baby Patrick Mahomes at +165. So there's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download WinBet or visit WynNBet.com to get started today. Offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WinBet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
All right, let's get to the fun part of the show. Let's start tearing guys' new wins. Okay.
Let's do it.
So there's five goats that I have identified that probably should have won today, either today or they just should have won in general.
Okay.
And what I want you to do is I want you to rank them from least goaty to most goaty. And you got Mito, you got Rory, you got Zalatoris, Cam Young, and Matthew Fitzpatrick. So
least goaty first?
Yeah.
Mito. He's young, but
I disagree.
Really? You think he's?
I think Cam Young is the least goaty today. He's 25. This is the second major. Yeah. He really only screwed up like two holes today.
Why would he be? So why is he the least goaty?
So, okay, you're not understanding what I'm saying. Okay.
Oh,
most goats is you blew it the most.
Oh, you, okay, most, okay, gotcha. Okay. I misunderstood the exercise.
All right, so let's start over.
Okay. All right, so who blew it the most?
I know, who blew it the least to the most?
Least to the most. Okay, yes. So least blew it the most would be Young. I would agree.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, he started off really poorly on one.
Yep.
And then he immediately bounced back with a birdie.
Birdie.
I think he did the same thing again on, I think hole number 9, he bogeyed the 8th and then, you know, came back from the bye. He only really screwed up
on that double.
Yeah, the double. He had some really bad bunker shots down the stretch too. Like, on 13, that was a bad bunker shot. And bad. He hit a bad one on 14.
But he still had like, it was under 15 feet for a birdie.
No, I know.
Like, he missed so many putts that I thought he could make. But listen, the kid's young. He hits a fucking mile. He's in contention at, you know what I mean? Like, what is this? Is like fifth, top five? Like, this kid's going to break through at some point.
Yeah. No, I mean, he definitely had his grasp. I'm not going to fault the kid. It is what it is. So, all right. So we agree on that. Who's after that?
Oh, boy. I guess technically Rory, because he was out of it on Sunday.
All right. So I'm going to put Zalatoris as the second least goaty.
That's fine. I could go with that. That's fine.
Okay. Because, I mean, Zalatoris looked like he was going to run away with this thing, and then he got a bad break on, what, 6?
That bounce. The side of the hill. That bounce. Oh, my God. It was so bad.
Yeah, and that derailed. Like, that ended the momentum. He had a bogey in 6, bogey in 7, and then he just, like, the rest of the round, he kind of was just flat until he ended up getting, I think, up and down on 17.
Yep. He got up and down on 18, too.
Yeah, and up and down on 18 as well. Yeah, that was a clutch putt on 18.
Yep.
And then listen, the playoff, like, it is what it is, but.
Once again, there's a reason why I laid the biggest single bet I've ever laid in golf when it was JT versus Will Z. Like, everybody knew it was going to happen.
Right. I mean, I guess you can make the argument that he went to the weekend 9 under and he finished it 5 under for the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, he was awful on Saturday.
Everybody was bad on Saturday.
No, I wasn't really.
Other than Bubba. Oh, wait, no, Bubba was good on Friday. No,
Bubba was bad too.
Yeah, Bubba was
good. Answer was actually pretty good on Saturday. I know. But Zalatoris was like legitimately like.
Yeah, he was not.
Off the tee was terrible. Yeah. That putting stroke though. Can we talk?
Oh my God. Yes. It's when they zoomed in on it, it stresses me out. I didn't have any money on it. It stresses me out.
I don't know. Like, I mean, listen, I guess it worked because I didn't see him miss any two footers.
Right.
But man, like that goes like nine different directions.
And it stops, pauses, goes forward, back again. Like, oh boy.
Like what I don't understand is like how on the long putts he doesn't do that. And like on the short ones, it's just like, all right, I have to like put in position. Like it's like Hideki, the top of the backswing. Like he just stops. He literally stops. Yeah. And it like shakes and then he just like stabs the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, that is not sustainable. And he's an arm locker and he does that.
Oh, yeah.
That's so bad.
Well, doesn't he do the claw thing?
Yeah, it's arm lock and the claw.
That's too much shit. I just putt.
That's not good.
Yeah, I can't. I tried that claw thing like for just on like the putting green. It just felt so unnatural. I was like, I'm not doing this.
Okay. All right. So let's get back to Rory though. just typical.
Typical.
Typical Rory.
Yep. Exactly how I said it would play out.
First round leader.
Yep. And then on Sunday, and then he didn't even finish the run. Like it looked like he was really going to go out with four birdies in a row on the front nine. Like I was like, oh my God, he's really going to fucking back to a top five.
Well, let's go back to Friday. That's why I think he's the third most goat here. Cause that was, he got the good wave.
Good draw.
The wind died down.
Dead.
There were 63s out there, 64. Yep. Like it was really easy.
Yep.
They shot 71.
Yeah, terrible.
That was really bad right there. And he played awful on Saturday, like he does, and then made the run on Sunday. And then as soon as he was in it, he bogeyed.
As soon as he was
terrible in it. Chip, terrible putt.
He's not winning another major. He's not winning another major. It's not happening. I will bet whatever you want.
So over under a half?
Zero.
I think it's over, but this does not give me confidence.
No.
It seems like we see the same thing over and over with him.
It is.
Like, as soon as he's 11 strokes out, it's all of a sudden now it's go time.
Yeah.
So, just bad. I was so high on Rory, too. And, like, got the first round leader. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. Well, by the way, yes. I tipped you on that, not you and everybody.
You didn't tip me on it.
Said it on the pick show. I said Rory first round leader. And you're like, fine.
Well, I had him written down anyway, but you and Andy both convinced me on Rory over the fucking week. And he was in fucking 40% of my DFS. I had him as my one and done. I just didn't bet him outright, so I leveraged it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, and whatever.
Regardless, another disappointing Rory finish.
Another disappointing Rory.
That's going to look great for the Wikipedia page.
Right, I know.
All right. So now we're down to Mito and Fitz.
I'm going to give Mito the second because he's young.
I am too.
Yeah, he's young. And, man, if there was one more rotation on 17, he would have had a two-shot lead going in. He would have took a three-wood out, fucking, and he would have, at worst, bogeyed 18, and he would have won. I feel bad for him, man. I do. I legit feel bad for him.
Yeah, that's going to stay with him. Like, something like this.
Oh, scar tissue galore.
Carries with you.
Oh, yeah.
He was legitimately bad today.
He was real bad
today.
But let me bring this up, which you said you didn't know about. So at the end, Mito went and talked to the Golf Channel. You could tell the kid was shook. Like, but he was very polite, said the right things. He's like, I think he said something like, listen, you know, I didn't think I was, you know, feeling the pressure, but I guess sometimes your body just builds up pressure and you don't even know what you're doing. Right. And you know who didn't talk? Who declined to talk to the media, went and packed up his locker and fucking went home. Like the fucking baby he is. He's a fucking baby. I know he's a nice guy, air quotes, whatever. Nobody knows him. He seems like a fucking pampered fuck.
I'm surprised he did that.
Why?
Like, usually he's very honest with the media. I'm surprised he didn't face the music.
Yeah, well, he did.
He should, by the way. He should face the music on that. Okay.
He should.
No.
He should. And I'm bringing up the old don't want to wear the Irish flag days. It all comes back. All comes back to me.
Okay.
Let's
go back to Mito for a second.
Yeah.
He put some horrible swings on the ball today. The swing he put on the tee shot on three that sent it right into the woods, that was pretty bad.
Yes.
His tee shot on 14, that was a rope hook that went 40 yards past the green.
Yeah, yeah.
That was awful, but he was scrambling pretty well. He was getting
up and down
from like 100 yards everywhere.
Yeah, man, it was crazy.
And then let me ask you a question. What is uglier? Zalatoris' putting stroke from 2 feet or Mito's tee shot swing on 18. That was gross.
It was gross, but here's the deal. Willie Z does it every tournament. I don't know if Mito does that all the time, but that shit was horrific.
I don't, what was happening? He came like over the top, like, why was he trying to go over the top it? So much?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It was like the worst version of Patrick Reed's helicopter finish. Like, he didn't need to do that. Like, why? And he took Driver there too.
Yeah.
Like,
take three wood. Take three wood. Hey, man. I mean,
unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It was bad. And listen, okay. Good, because it gave me a chance to make some more money and bet JT in the playoff. So,
all right. Thank you. So we're both agreeing with who the biggest goat of the day
was.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Fitz.
I am a huge Fitzpatrick backer.
Yeah, you can have the floor.
That was utterly pathetic today. Right from the jump.
Yep.
Like, and Dottie even called it too. Like, everything was rushed. Apparently he was late to the practice range. So he was rushed.
So here's what's funny is this morning when I was on Twitter, him and his caddy were watching soccer.
Oh, you got to be fucking kidding. So Premier League final day?
So I don't know.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I don't know if that's why they were late or not. But he posted it like, this team better do good. What's his caddy's name? I needed him to be in a good mood today. And I was like, I didn't know he was late to the range. I didn't hear that part.
Apparently everything was rushed. Like the putting, chipping. And, like, right from the jump, too, like, it seemed like he was trying to hit it off the tee like Bryson. He was swinging so hard.
Through his shoes. Insane.
Well, why? What was he doing?
To prove all of us people who say he's a short knocker run.
Like, I think I saw maybe two good shots out of Fitzpatrick today. Everything was garbage. Like, iron shots were bad. He had a couple good tee shots.
The chipping was pretty good.
I was talking about, like, hitting. Like,
I got you.
God, he was missing lefts all day. The fact he finished what, three under for the turn, I felt like he shot 80 today with the way he was playing. It was utter garbage. I could not believe what I saw, and all he had to do is just shoot even par today, and I would have been able to dunk on you. And
but alas, he did Fitzpatrick things. Yeah, that's it. This is him, man. Like I am team never fucking Fitz, and I will be always team never fucking Fitz.
You know what? It's for me. It's unless he's over 50-1, it's positionals only for me. That's it. I can't do it anymore. This guy. And you know what? He's going to be uber chalk at the U.S. Open because he won Brookline at the U.S. AM. He's going to be he's going to be 30-1. Everybody's going to bet him. I will not be betting him.
We already know.
I'm already saying right. No. I'm serious. I will not be betting him at the U.S.
No, AM. I'm saying we already know who we're betting at Brookline.
We do. And why don't we talk about it right now?
You want to?
That's all with Patrick Cantlay.
All right, come on.
Hey, apparently the Bermuda thing is a thing.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. What did let's go over some of his stats this week.
Terrible, man.
All right. First round, 0.3 off the tee. Okay, you know, the ball's sitting up off the Bermuda, so it's fine. He's not actually making contact with it. Lost 1.5 with his approach shots. Pretty shitty. Lost 1.2 around the green. Oh, I guess he's a good bent grass putter. Lost 0.8 there.
Yep. Okay.
Second round, I think it was even worse.
Was it?
You know what? It wasn't quite as bad. He lost off the tee this time. Actually gained an approach, gained around the green, lost 3 strokes putting. So much for the bent grass narrative.
For real. Ejected.
Look.
So bad.
Here's the opportunity, though, is that in a couple weeks, which, by the way, we only have 3 more tournaments to the U.S. Open. It's a very short
Is that all we got?
Yeah, we have Colonial, we have Memorial in 2 weeks, and then we have the Canadian Open, and then U.S. Open week.
Nice. Let's go. What a great stretch of golf we got coming.
It actually is. I was complaining before, like, these next 3 tournaments are actually really good. Plus, we're going to have the first live event. That's going to be a wild week.
Let's go.
So, next couple weeks are going to be fun, but everybody's going to be out at Cantlay. Everybody. They're all going to say, he sucks. And you know what? Look. He has sucked in majors. He's still a good player. It's not going to be like this forever. At some point, he's going to play well.
Yep.
And if that number drifts, I'm already going to play the narrative. I already know I'm going to bet Cantlay at Brookline because I'm going to run that same take again about Bermuda and say, listen, now we're on a northern golf course. He's going to feel right comfortable. It's also a plotter golf course, too. I feel like Brookline is like this was not for him. Brookline's going to be for him. Just be patient, just like hit fairway, just like, you know, kind of hit it here, and then we'll go from there. I like Cantlay a lot for Brookline. I'm actually pretty encouraged by what I saw this week because this team's going to be awesome.
Okay.
Anything else with the PGA? Yeah, you want to talk about Tiger?
No.
It was horrific. Like, it was painful to watch. Like, stop. And in the TV coverage, and I know people want to watch Tiger. Like, even Tommy was over the house on Saturday, and I was bitching about him being on the coverage. And I'm like, listen, man, it's like fucking 1 o'clock. I got guys who could actually make a move, and I'm watching Tiger for fucking 4 minutes standing on the putting green. He's not even looking at a putt. He's just fucking standing there, and they're talking about him, and it drives me nuts. There's the golf. Like, I want to have a stroke. Golf coverage is so fucking bad. Like, I already know the shots that are coming because I've already been updated on my phone. And it takes them 5 minutes to get the shit that's important because I got to listen to some CEO for fucking 10 minutes and Nance and the other asshole talk for fucking 15 minutes about shit we already know. It makes me fucking insane.
So CBS today, they were going over the Zalatoris ruling, and then all of a sudden they went through a playthrough as they were still explaining it. I was like, this doesn't help. They're pointing at different things. Like, you need to stay on this right now and have somebody explain or put a microphone and say, like, all right, this is the conversation.
Right.
Instead of go to a fucking Michelin commercial.
Yeah, of course.
And I mean, between that, the PGA Tour app and the leaderboard was terrible. Jesus,
man, always bad.
Did they ever, I don't think they ever put where the pin actually was on each green.
They didn't. They never did.
That's useful information.
Yes.
Like, okay, it's here. It's 72 feet away. All right, but where's the pin? Like, is it short-sided? Is he fucked?
Yeah.
Like, oh, no one knows. God.
No one knows.
Kept crashing, and it took them 5 hours on Thursday to figure out that, A, you couldn't have the guys who are over par well below the bottom of the page and the guys who haven't teed off yet.
They didn't have where the
turn. They did it last year too. It's the same thing.
And they didn't have where the turn was even correct. Remember?
Like, oh yeah,
it was. They showed the turn at 10
or 11.
Yeah.
God, fucking awful.
So bad.
Like, so honestly, bad. Like, I complain about the Open Championship app because it doesn't have shot. Like, I would take that because at least I know it's all accurate. Day.
Exactly.
All and day. It looks clean. Like, this just looks fucking clunky.
Terrible.
Ugh. All right. But anyways, back to Tiger. I agree with you. This isn't fun. It's not fun. What he did on Friday to make the cut, it was great. It was just, he dug deep, but like, it's not fun. It's not fun, especially when they're devoting just so much coverage to it for a guy just to make the cut. Like, what else you got to fucking prove, dude?
Nothing. And then I know you're on Twitter, so I don't know if you saw it somewhere else, but he was coming down on Saturday, walking down to go in the bunker, and his leg just did this like awful, gross thing, and it was so painful. It was like, dude, like, man, please stop. Like, just go. You know what I mean? Like,
just play the Masters and
Masters. Play a couple short, easy courses to warm up for it.
Play the Hero in the Bahamas.
Yeah, man. Like
that.
Like it's not the memories we want. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah, man. You have nothing else to prove. You're not really going to go out and compete. Like, it is what it is. Like,
no, you're not breaking Jack's record. It is what it is at this point. And your body has been not only through the fact you almost lost your leg. How many back surgeries has he had?
Yep.
That probably another one's going to come down the pipe again.
Nope.
It's, I don't know. It's, you know, I you're right. I don't want to remember him like this. So, all right. Then lastly, I guess, how do we do? I'll start first. Mixed bag this week for me. Obviously, I didn't hit any outrights. I did nail 7 of 10 positionals.
That was pretty good.
Rory top 20 with a football bet. Zalatoris top 20. Fitzpatrick top 20. And then I nailed all my top 40s. Fleetwood, Aaron Wise, Brian Harman, Kevin Na. No dead heat on any of them either.
Nice.
If I could take it back though, I did the Scotty Scheffler and Morikawa top 20s before I got the tee times.
Yeah.
Note going forward, don't do that until you get the tee times.
Yeah.
That cost me a little bit this week. Positionals were fine. No complaints. I bet Charles, Schwartzel, Fowler, and Simpson to miss the cut. They all made the cut. 0-for-3.
Everybody made the cut.
I know, but Schwartzel and Simpson made on the number. That was the most frustrating thing.
And Simpson went nuclear fucking on Saturday.
Yeah, that sucks. No hole in one. That was fine. No.
Cam Smith almost had it. Fuck.
All right. Hey. Close but no call.
Wouldn't help me in DK.
Yeah. Cut line. I want to talk about this one for a second. This one annoys me. So yeah. I was just like, I need to hammer the over no matter what it was. I saw 144.5 and I was like, I'm just going to take it. Little did I know that another book was going to hang 146.5 or plus 6.5. I'm like, that's way too high.
Yeah.
So I thought about middling it. I'm like, no, that's too cute. If I had to do it over again, I would have just taken the under. That was just a bad number.
So I got lucky. I had 144 flat, so I just pushed it.
All right. Okay. So there you go there. Yeah. So, I will say though, I think the PGA not cutting the greens overnight on Thursday, I think that's why I stayed a plus four, because I was expecting no one was going to be able to hold a green, like kind of like 2002 US Open conditions or 2001. Honestly, I the course setup was a little easier than I anticipated this week. I thought balls would more roll into the rough. Maybe I overestimated how much those, you know, the fairways are kind of sloped a little bit. I overestimated how much, you know, balls were going to feed off the green and repel. Mm-hmm. Seems like there are a lot more greens hitting regulation than I gave credit for kind of small greens, whatever. Yeah. It is. Matchups though. I need to take a break or I need to do what I did today.
Yeah.
I had two, I forget what they were. I handicapped them. I think one of them was
with Fleetwood, right?
Adam Munoz, and then there was another one.
Yeah, Fleetwood.
No, I'm talking about the ones I did today. Okay. I didn't give them out. But it was like Hatton over Munoz, like one other one. So I handicapped them. I'm like, all right, I like Munoz, and it was the other one. I'm like, I'm going to do the opposite. And it went 2-0. So something is clearly broken with my process. I don't know what it is. So... honestly, I think next week I'm going to handicap matchups and I'm just going to take the opposite side at this point. I what the fuck? I mean, I've been bad for 2 months now with matchups. Okay. So that, but then today though, so as I mentioned, maybe I didn't mention this. I kind of got the TPC Scottsdale 2020 Brooks Koepka vibe that no one actually wants this thing. And I saw JT at 22-1. I was like, screw it. He's just going to win. Anyone. So that capped a very nice. Nice.
So look at that. You used your gut and not stats.
I did. I also realized that my book was offering, will guys hit the fairway or hit the green? And I went 9-0 in that today.
Nice.
So yeah. I had a very good Sunday to end the day, but, unfortunately I need to do better for you guys in matchups, and with outrights. And honestly, the tournament props kind of bugged me too. I usually do really well in those and.
Yeah, I mean, it was the bad wind draw. I had to fucking turn Slack off today because like everybody's ahead of me. So I had to turn off notifications, which sucks because I want to be in there. But at the same point, I'm like, I'm not ruining my experience.
Right.
So like you said, I need to not be cheap and just get cable, I guess.
You should. Otherwise I have to delay my reactions 90 seconds for you. And that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know. So you text me something like, no, you're ahead. Stop.
Okay. All right. How'd you do this week?
I did fine. Like, obviously, first round leader fucking helps, right? But yeah, matchups, I got fucking smoked. I think Fleetwood was the only matchup that fucking hit. I think Fleetwood was the only matchup to hit.
No. Oh, you want to say anything about Daniel Berger, by the way?
Fuck him, man. What a joke. What a joke. What a joke. Like, I don't understand. Like, how was he that bad? I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like I don't even think I saw a shot from him this week.
Me either. Corey Connors fucking fucked me on the top Canadian. Like everybody was bad. You just had to be less bad than everybody else. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like whatever. And the positions I put out, like they all blew because I had the wrong side of the draw for the top 20s. Like, Fleetwood was the only one to hit and that was plus 350. And I didn't put it out. I put it on Twitter. I was like, I'll add more later. And I did. I added Xander, Smith, Rory. Young and then like one other guy in the morning wave. So I hit all those, but
okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. But I mean, whatever. It doesn't count because I didn't fucking put it out. It was just a hedge myself, but you're right. Like I texted as soon as that shit came out, I was like, what the fuck? And I even texted you. I usually wait, but I was trying to get ahead because it was content week. I was like, I want to make sure my card's out. Fucking da da da. Let me lay the bets. And then the fucking came out. I was like, oh, I'm fucking screwed.
Like let's pull back the curtain real quick. If we were not putting out content, we probably would wait till Tuesday night, Wednesday to do our picks, but.
Well, for outrights, I'll jump on them early, but for positionals and all that.
Even a week like this, half my outrights were on the wrong side of the draw. And I'm like, what am I doing? So maybe a rule going forward is maybe I'm only betting like anything over 40 to 1 on Monday and then wait and see what the tee times are. Because this week we might have a weather issue.
I know.
That we can get to. So maybe that's something we just need to adopt going forward.
Yeah, could be.
So, all right.
Could be. And here's the thing, too. So now are we going to get a flop lag on the weather, right? Like, is everybody going to overreact to because this weather stack worked? Well, TPC, the weather stack didn't work. So that's something you got to factor in, too. Let's just galaxy brain everything.
Wait, why didn't TPC Sawgrass weather stack work?
Because everybody got delayed and everybody was fucked and the stack didn't actually work out correctly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't actually think they were going to stop play.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Like, the point is, like, typically weather stacks don't work. This time it really fucking worked for the most part, except for JT. You know what I mean?
JT ended up winning.
JT literally mushroom printed our foreheads. So.
All right. You got anything else or
we move on? That's fine. We can move on.
All right. Well, we take another break and then we'll, get to Colonial.
All right. Sounds good. So now on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for my dynasty one. It's a game changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now you get to make money on Sleeper by playing their new over under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players you like and then pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount you want to enter in the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win between 2 times and 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about the over-under on Sleeper is the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friend's pick with a tap of the button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together like me and Steve did today with JT. So stop with what you're doing and download the Sleeper and head over to the new over under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. And just make sure to use promo code SGPN.
All right. Let's get to Charles Schwab Challenge. This one from the PGA.
What a terrible name for what a terrible name for a tournament, by the way.
Well, I mean,
just call it Charles Schwab. What? Just call it Charles Schwab.
Do you know, what it was do you know what it was before this?
Dude, I actually do. Hang on.
Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, no.
The Dean and DeLuca Invitational.
Oh, that's even worse. You're right.
What even are they? Are they a grocery store?
Who knows?
I think they're like a high end grocery store.
Sounds like they're part of the Gambino family. That's what it really sounds like.
Part of the what?
The Gambino family.
All right. Anyways, this is the Charles Schwab Challenge, that also known as the Dean DeLuca, also known as the Colonial Invitational, also known as the Crown Plaza Invitational.
Yeah. Colonial, just do Colonial Invitational or Charles Schwab. The challenge thing is dumb. It's a golf course.
All right. For going, well, they do give away like a cool Dodge Challenger, I think, to the winner, which I think Kevin Na gave to his caddy, I think, when he won. All right. Fine. From going forward, this will be known as Colonial on the podcast.
Yeah, let's just do that.
All right, so look, like, we're probably going to breeze through a lot of this stuff. We spent a lot of time in the PGA. Most of the stuff we're going to talk about that I already wrote about in my article, which, by the way, I had to edit.
Brilliant.
Because I assassinated JT on Saturday night when I wrote it. And then he ended up winning the tournament. So congratulations to everybody who ended up cashing the tickets. I did put a little screenshot of that little faux pas.
Perfect. There, so. It was perfect.
Exactly. Gotta laugh at yourself sometimes, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a couple of bad. I had a bad take about JT in the tournament. I need to own that. I had a whatever.
Hey,
moving on. We all have bad takes. Anyways, the Colonial Invitational. As far as the field, it's a good field. I think the only ones that stand out, we're going to see three returning guys this week, or maybe. Apparently, Bryson's going to give it a go. We'll see. He said he didn't get a go last week. He wanted to. He's here in Colonial. I don't know. If he's healthy, we'll get over the type of guys who typically do well here. He doesn't really fit that mold.
Not Bryson.
Well, but here's the thing, though. Like, we've seen some guys, and guys have been a lot more aggressive off the tee because they're cutting off more of the dog leg. Yeah. And we saw it in the tournament that after COVID. A lot of guys just bombing over the dog leg. Same thing kind of last year. Like, even Spieth was hitting a lot of driver. Kokrek was like before, like a lot of guys are taking like more like positional like clubs off the tee.
Yeah.
With how far the ball's going now, Colonial's kind of getting a little outdated. So look, like if he's healthy, that could work for him. I mean, it's just kind of hitting along the straight all the time. So there's that. Apparently Sungjae is clear to COVID now. He's going to play. And remember Harris English?
Yeah, I know he's coming back this week.
Apparently he's coming back this week.
Is he allowed to use his old putter grip that Karen knocked him out for? That's all I care about.
Probably not.
So lame, dude. Who are these the worst people in the world? Like, literally, people who leave like Yelp reviews. Like, what are you doing with your time? How do you have this much free time? Are you going to dedicate 10 minutes to write a fucking bad internet review or call the PGA about somebody's goddamn putter grip? Ugh.
In 20 years, are we going to look back at that 2021 Ryder Cup team and be like, oh yeah, Harrison was on there. How the hell did he get on there?
Yeah, probably.
With all these like great, like Morikawa, like DJ, JT, Spieth, Harris English, man.
Harris English. And that dude was on college game day. He was all over the fucking place. Yeah. Good for Harris English, man. The goober, man. Whatever.
Listen,
good,
you know, good for him. He got two wins last year. So, yeah, all right. Good for him. Anyways, I mean, like you got, Zalatoris, Mito, Sam Burns, Hovland, Morikawa, a bunch of other guys. It's a great field.
It's a great field.
It is. I mean, the next 3 weeks are probably going to really good field.
Oh, I'm so excited. I didn't realize Memorial was tucked in here, too.
It is.
I'm super
excited. Let's talk about the golf. Let's talk about the golf course. So, Colonial Country Club, it was built in 1936, basically in an effort to prove the naysayers wrong. So, everybody was saying, hey, listen, you cannot make a bent grass golf course in Texas. And this crazy motherfucker named Marvin Leonard was like, oh, yeah? Well, I'll show you. So, he actually hired Perry Maxwell, who... Yeah. Just designed Sunder Hills. He designed the golf course, and a guy named John Bredemus oversaw the construction. So they basically created a wall-to-wall bent grass golf course. And listen, the design was great. Maxwell didn't do anything wrong, but the naysayers are right. You cannot build a wall-to-wall bent grass golf course in Texas because it is way too hot. You're using way too much water. The grass dies. It's way too much stress on the fairways and rough. But as we've seen in a couple of our golf courses in Texas, you can use bent grass greens. You know, you have to care for it. So over time, they have converting the Bermuda grass fairways and rough to Bermuda, which is much more acceptable there. And that's what it is today. You know, as far as Colonial, like I posted a couple of videos as far as what it is. I posted a flyover of the golf course. I posted a couple of videos from Don't Laying Up. One of the videos is basically talking about how this tournament's really special to Fort Worth. Like, I think one of the unique things about this tournament is like a lot of these golf courses are in the suburbs and stuff. This is actually right in the city, kind of similar to the Houston Memorial Park. Like, so it actually means something like downtown. The whole town rallies around it. Colonial also doesn't seem like a very stuffy, like country club either. Just like talking to like some of the members, like, or like in that video. It just like, it means a lot. Like, this was a tournament that was on its last legs, as we just saw. Like, I mean, like,
yep.
You know, all the sponsors were just a revolving door. And finally, Charles Schwab came in with the big bucks and, you know, and the fancy car that they give to the caddies and stuff like that. And, you know, this now has a permanent place. It was looking for a while, like, maybe this is going to be towards the end. I mean, it didn't even have a sponsor a couple of years ago. So there's that. And then, Big Randy and Neil played the horrible horseshoe of Colonial 18 times. Well, actually, they played six times. So the horrible horseshoe is holes 3, 4, and 5, which kicks everybody in.
Who the fuck is Randy?
Oh, he's one of the no-laying-up guys.
Oh, I don't know those guys, but go ahead.
All right, fine.
I was confused. I was like, wait.
It's actually a very entertaining video. It's two guys. One guy's like a 4 handicap. The other guy's like a 10 handicap. And they play the 3 toughest holes of the golf course 6 times over. Just a big
group. You always talk about the no lane-up guys. I got to start listening to them.
Okay, so number 3, basically, it's a 90-degree dogleg left with bunkers on the dogleg there. Very narrow fairway. Either you got to hit a hard hook to keep in the fairway, or you just got to hit right to the middle of the dogleg, and you have a really long approach shot. Number 4 is a 240-yard par 3 with some collection areas running off to the sides. And then number 5, that's probably – that is a nightmare hole. So the fairway – is cantered to the left towards an old creek bed.
Okay.
But there's OB to the right. Ooh. So you either like, and this week we're going to get a stiff south wind.
Yeah.
And the driving range is just across from the creek bed. So you basically got to start your ball over the driving range and then try to curve it back in, or else it's going to go blow rain to the woods and the OB. I don't know if this is the exact set, but I think it has like the lowest like driving accuracy percentage on the PGA Tour, that hole. Like, guys, just fairways are, it's so intimidating, a tee shot. And then just otherwise with Colonial Country Club, you know, it's your classic golf course. A lot of positional golf, at least how it was designed, like a lot of dog legs, a lot of holes where can't see the green from the tee. You got to kind of pick and choose where you want to put your tee shot, you know, match up where the pin position is. Small greens, the bunkers aren't as severe or unfair as some people, players called it at Southern Hills.
They called that because it, the different material, right?
Right, it was sand. Yeah.
Right. It was like gravel.
Yeah, these bunkers have more just regular sand. So, but overall, I mean, like, this is a tournament that usually the winning score is low teens and mid teens under par. You know, you're going to see guys, if you don't have it, you're going to card a lot of bogeys, but birdies can be had out there too. And then I guess the only other note about this place is, you know, I mentioned that this is becoming a little outdated. It's only 1,700 yards. In the last couple of years, we've seen guys just bomb driver over the dog legs and they just access, they can carry the bunkers. It needs a renovation. So in 2023, after the completion of, next year's Charles Schwab Challenge, Gil Hance is actually going to renovate the golf course.
Ooh.
That would be the second Perry Maxwell he has done.
Ooh.
Yeah, Gil Hance is like becoming...
He's like a rock star.
Yeah, he's a... I mean, he already was a rock star, but now he's like... When I did the major pod with Andy, I think he has 8 golf courses that he renovated that's on the major rotation between now and like 2035. You know, he's going to renovate this place. Got a couple others like coming up too, like... And I mean, look, like I wasn't really too thrilled with how they set up the golf course, but I thought his work was really good. I thought it was an interesting golf course with Southern Hills. And I look forward to what he's going to do at Colonial. I don't think you can really, because it's a city property. I don't think you really lengthen it a whole lot anymore unless they do what they did this week and just have like tee boxes across from greens.
That was kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
It was really weird. I didn't like it.
So when I first charted that golf course, I was like, oh, 7,300 yards. I found the tee boxes. And then it was 7,500. I was like, where the fuck are they going to put their tee boxes? And I tried it, and I'm like, is it across from the green? And it was. They just – it was kind of nuts. But I understand why they had to do it. But anyways,
yeah.
I don't think you can actually do this to this, but I'm wondering if they're going to push out bunkers, redo some greens, maybe widen it a little bit. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what he does. We'll know for the 2024 Charles Schwab Challenge what he has in store for us. So why don't we take another break, and then we'll start getting to betting strategies.
All right, sounds good. Well, listen, sweaty sack summer is approaching, and if you live in Florida, it's already here. I was just telling Steve it was 95 degrees with 99% humidity today. It was awful, and it's time to prioritize the comfort to your crotch. That's why the kings of crotch comfort, Manscaped, have spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there. I've had the honor of testing out these new boxers, and I can say it's the softest fabric of any underwear. It's breathable, like gills for your groin. They even trademarked the jewel pouch, so you know it's that serious, and it's time you invest in your family jewels. So let your bulge breathe and get 20% off plus free shipping by using promo code SGP at manscaped.com. Let's say you're on a date and your partner catches the Manscaped on the waistband of your underwear. It's almost guaranteed to raise some eyebrows like a billboard on the highway to Pleasure Town. This is thanks to the Lawnmower 4.0, their best electric trimmer for below the waist grooming, and the trimmer offers the skin safe technology to help trim hair on loose skin. And outside of ball trimming, they're focusing on their efforts of helping out the thigh slappers in other ways, like the game-changing boxers. These boxers include, like we said, the jewel pouch designed to cradle your boys in their own special space, lined with perforated performance fabric to keep them well-ventilated. Basically, imagine your balls sipping pina coladas, chilling on a hammock on a tropical beach. The micro model fabric is buttery soft and breathable. Keep your cucumber cool. Walk, run, or strut. These moisture-wicking boxers will help you not break a sweat. The tagless waistband hugs your body without digging in, and it lays flat against your skin to reduce chafing. The front fly opening gives you easy access to make bathroom breaks quick and efficient, and you can choose from an arrangement of designs and colors and sizes from small to 3X for all the guys out there. So to get 20% off and free shipping with promo code SGP at manscaped.com, that's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. Once again, the boxers 2.0. Touch your sack and you'll never go back.
All right. Betting strategies. So So let's just talk about some nuts and bolts of the golf course. So this golf course stretches just over 7,200 yards, plays as par 70. Like I mentioned before, teed green, it is Bermuda, and the Bermuda rough is very thick. Averages about 3 inches in length, which is actually thicker than what we saw at Southern Hills last week. So a little more penal to actually hit it.
But they're gonna have a first cut of rough there. This course
That is true.
It's like that was great, man. I forgot to mention
that was awesome.
It was great, man.
Every golf course should have that.
No. Every golf course professional player.
Everyone they play.
Yes. I was like, no, fuck that shit. No. But like me and Tommy were talking about that. We're like, that's perfect. Like, no, you don't get to hit that rough and then sit in the first cut where it makes no difference for you. Like you hit the fairway or you're in the shit. Like, I love it.
Well, especially when it was like 40-yard fairway, wide fairway. Yeah. Like, if you can't hit that fairway, you deserve to be right into the
rough. Buried to the bottom. Every single ball that went into that rough was buried. And I was like, ah, yes, that's how it is to play Bermuda.
No, like, I remember last week I was so big. I'm like, you cannot play out of that Bermuda. Like, we saw guys like airmail greens. We saw guys come up way short. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
You have no idea what it's going to do.
I don't envy you for playing out of that stuff every single week. So I'll prefer my comfy little poa and ryegrass and up here. So anyways, so there's a Bermuda rough. It's 3 inches length. They do the intermediate cut though, but you still don't want to be in it. Just like we saw last week, you know, the ball's going to come out dead. You don't know if the ball's going to come out live. You know, we'll see. The greens also are bent grass. So again, we have a very similar ground we saw last week. Bermuda fairways and rough. Bankgrass greens, and the greens are about the same size as Southern Hills too. They're not quite as undulated though. But I remember
being more flat.
Yeah, it's a little more flat. I mean, there's some shelving to it, but it's not as crazy as, you know, some of the ones we saw this week. 5,000 square feet in area, about the same size. So let's talk about the par fives though. So the opening hole is only 551 yards, but it's very difficult to get there in two. It's a tough tee shot. So all the way down the right is just a billion trees that if you're in there, it's going to clatter around and you're not going to be able to hit the green too. You need to have a punch out. To the left is three fairway bunkers that again, you're going to have to, that's a layup. And then if you're in the rough, you're not getting to the par five either. The only chance you can get there in two is if you hit it straight dab right in the middle of the dog leg. Otherwise, you're not getting there in two. Even that approach shot into the green is not that easy. So this is not like it's still played under par, but you have to hit a perfect tee shot or else you're basically you got to hope to stick a wedge for your third. The other par five is 629 yards. If you have a helping wind, you can get there in two. Otherwise, it's probably a three shot hole. And in 2021, it actually did not yield a single eagle. So keep that in mind for DK. Do not use eagle or better or eagle percentage.
I never use eagle or better.
You definitely have at one point used eagle percentage.
Never.
All right. I think I've read people use it then.
Yeah, you know, people do.
I don't understand.
It might be a tiebreaker, but you're talking the difference between 1 and 2%. Like who makes more eagles? Like who gives a fuck?
Yeah, like anyway. two out of 72 holes. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's do something new. So let's talk about historical stats of the golf course.
Okay.
And kind of maybe compared to some other golf courses on the PGA Tour. So since 2015, the historical driving accuracy average at Colonial Country is 61.8%. That's pretty low for PGA Tour standards. So here's some other golf courses that are within plus or minus 1% of that. So Eastlake, Harbortown, Scottsdale, Wailea, Memorial Park, which is the Houston Open, Ridgewood Country Club, TBC Four Seasons, where they used to play the Byron Nelson, Country Club Jackson played the Sanderson. Of that list, just eyeballing it, I would say probably Eastlake is a good comp, because that's when you got to keep in the fairway. Like, I think of guys like, you know, Xander played well at Kelowna a couple years ago, and he does well at Eastlake. Justin Rose played well at Eastlake. He's a former winner at Colonial. Kevin Na played well at Eastlake last year. He won Colonial, so like there's that. Harbortown, kind of your positional plotting golf guys like Kuchar, Kisner, all those guys. That's fine. Wailea, same thing with the Bermuda. That's like positional golf course too. Memorial Park is a good one, you know, because Jason Kokrak won there.
Yeah.
That's fine. Probably TPC Four Seasons is a good one too. You know,
TPC which one?
Four Seasons. That's where they used to play the Byron Nelson.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. And then Country Club of Jackson, you got the Bermuda too. So probably not Scottsdale, probably not Ridgewood. They hosted a like FedEx Cup event. Probably no. So the other ones on that list, yeah, you can probably look at them. It also, it's the sixth toughest golf course off the tee of the PGA Tour. Basically, you just lose the most strokes relative to other courses. And that's probably why guys just, you know, pull up down and play positional golf there. Because, like I mentioned, you don't want to be the Bermuda rough. It's narrow fairways. It's hard to hit fairways. So, the average driving distance at Colonial is also only 279. That indicates that guys tended to club down a lot. Although in recent years, that hasn't been the case. So maybe that might go up a little bit this year. What about green regulation percentages? That's about PGA Tour average, about 66% since 2015. Some other golf courses that had similar green regulation rates, Southwind, Concession, TPC Four Seasons, and we talked about Glen Addy, Shadow Creek, Glen Oaks, Congaree, TPC Sawgrass, TPC Boston. Of that list, I think I like Southwind, TPC Four Seasons pops up again. Shadow Creek, you got the Co-Crack Comp, but otherwise I don't love it. Sawgrass I can see, but that's like, no. We'll talk about it a little bit. It doesn't seem like there's like a, as far as like leveling out like guys off the tee, Sawgrass does a pretty good job of like creating parity. This place does a pretty good job of creating parity with like the two. So yeah, I mean, there's some good ones on that list. And then the last thing I want to say about historical stats is, Colonial does not feature very challenging or punishing greenside surrounds. It's actually the 12th easiest greenside surrounds on the PGA Tour. It's relatively easy to get them down from a lot of the bunkers in the rough too. Yeah. So even though there's, you know, a high, or about average, like, you know, green regulation rate, getting up and down for the bunkers isn't really a problem this week. And that leads me to the relative skill set chart, which kind of contradicts a lot of this stuff.
Oh, great.
Well, we'll have to explain it then. I think there's a reason for both. So let's talk about performance off the tee. As far as like, all right, if it's really challenging, what's a favor? Well, I would think it probably would favor guys who are a little more accurate. And that's actually not the case. It's about, you know, average. Like I would say, like of the true stats, like distance and accuracy, probably favor guys that hit more fairways, but it's not overwhelming like I see in a bunch of other places.
Yeah.
So you do get a mix of guys who tend to spray it, tend to hit a lot of fairways. Awesome. I guess I would explain it because guys are clubbing down a little more. And if when you do that, then driving accuracy percentages kind of go out the window.
Right.
So, yeah, and the driving distance, though, does not matter here. Long hitters do well here. Short hitters do well here. So that's fine. The only thing that really stands out from the chart is really good iron players do well here, which is not surprising. It's a ball strikers golf course. You know, you got to be precise. Hitting for the fairway is pretty important. If you're in the fairway, take advantage of it. But good scramblers do well here too, which seems to not jive with the easy greenside surrounds. You think, all right, well, it's easy for everybody. You know, that shouldn't be all that important. But I guess I put it as like if it's really easy, then if you're really good at it, you should be able to separate yourself more from the field. And if you're really bad at it, you know, that's going to cost you more. Yeah. That's how I justify it. So yeah, like, but if you look at a lot of leaderboards, and we'll get to some of the guys who do well here. Basically, that's a common theme. Really good iron players, really good scramblers. And then, like, I also posted in the article I wrote this week, similar golf courses with the same types of guys do well there. Austin Country Club for the match play, TPC Southwind, Harbor Town, TPC Craig Ranch, and Port Royal, the Bermuda golf course.
Yeah.
Those similar types of players do well Colonials do here.
Port Royal?
The Bermuda golf. Yeah, it's just like, you know.
It just seems weird.
It does seem weird, but that's just what data golf's for. Maybe don't use that one then. Maybe just use the other ones.
No, I'm just saying, like, off the jump, I didn't look at anything. I'm just saying off the jump, it just sounds like, wait, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like those types of players who were, you know, there's a good mix of, like, good drivers, bad drivers, accurate ones, not accurate ones. Are towards the top of the leaderboard, but generally they're pretty good with their irons, generally good scramblers. Putting can be kind of a crapshoot, which is kind of what it is here. So, all right, why don't we take another break and then we'll, finish up the betting strategies.
All right. Sounds good. So athletic greens, and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things. And it costs you less than $3 a day. You're invested in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. That's athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Okay. All right, let's talk about approach practices. Like I said, iron play is really important this week. Last week I took a guess at what the approach practices were. I think I kind of nailed it. A lot of approach shots under 150 yards.
Yep.
We actually have shot link data this week, and it's very clear cut. High, basically everything under 175 yards is a higher than average rate on the PGA Tour. Not a whole lot of long approach shots here. Focus on just short irons and mid irons this week. And those tend to be the guys who tend to do pretty well here that, you know, tend to hit those shots pretty good.
What's Kiz's record around here?
He won.
I don't mean to throw off of the rails.
No, he's a winner. He's a former winner here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he won like, I don't know, 2018 or something.
Okay.
Yeah, like he's won here. Kevin Na's won here.
Yeah.
I think Kuchar might have won here 1 year.
Okay.
Rose won right, here.
So Chris Kirk has won here. Kiz won in 27. Kevin won in 2017. Rose won in 18. Nah, 19. Berger, 20.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying like Southwind, Wyline, Harbortown, like those types of tracks.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of those guys do pretty well at all those places.
Do you know who Kenny Perry is?
Yeah, of course I know who Kenny Perry is.
Okay.
He should have won the 2009 Masters. You don't know who Kenny Perry is?
No, I don't know who fucking Kenny Perry is. He won in 2003. Steve Flesh?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, my God. Kenny Perry won here twice?
Yeah. He's going to come back this year, too, probably. They always invite, like, the old
speaking of that, that PGA Champions dinner photo was so sad compared to the Masters one.
It is pretty sad.
Did you know on Twitter? Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw an article. Yeah, I saw it in Golf Digest, yeah.
I don't know what gets put out.
That was pretty sad. So, I mean, look, like, I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time on that anymore. Just we'll go that. And then just horses for courses. So number one, Jordan Spieth, 36th round, gained 2.5 strokes per round of the field. I mean, he's won here. He came second last year. He's just good here. Morikawa was second. He lost in a playoff to Berger the COVID year. I think he finished like top 15 last year. Third, Justin Rose, former winner. Fourth, Webb Simpson. Like, we talked about some of the courses we named. Harbortown.
And he looked good this weekend, too.
Harbortown, Wailea, you know, Southwind, Sea Island, like those types of places. Like, Webb's a good all this place. Five, Kevin Na, former winner here. Same thing. Good all this places. Six, Tony Finau, which is surprising, but he's been really good here, though. Seven, Justin Thomas. Eight, Kevin Kisner, which I said. Nine, Harris English, come back from injury. And 10, Charlie Hoffman. So, good, like, there's a mix of, like, inaccurate bombers, some balanced guys, some really accurate players. Like, off the tee is a big parity, but all of them are pretty good with their iron, especially from within 175. All of them are relatively pretty good scramblers. You know, that's basically just going to be what I'm going to focus on this way. I'm not really going to try and get too cute, like, and try and target those guys. Target guys who tend to be pretty good at Colonial and some of those other comp courses I mentioned, and that's really about it.
Okay.
So, any early leans for you?
No, I'll probably play, like, initially I'll play Jordan. He's always on the fucking leaderboard here, at least DFS-wise. Outrights, not quite sure. I mean, I'll look for Berger, right? Flop lag on him. Because I have no idea what he did. No idea. I didn't see a single fucking shot from Berger. All I know is he's got the bad weather draw, and my brain could just be like, bad weather draw. I mean, the field's stacked, man. I don't know. Kiz kind of tickles my fancy a little bit.
Okay. How are you thinking Burns this week?
Yeah,
I think he played well last week at Southern Hills.
Yeah, he played fine. Yeah, he got the bad weather draw too.
Yeah,
I'm fine with Burns. I'm fine going back to Kokrak too. You made the cut.
He hit the ball okay.
Yeah,
and he didn't. Yeah, Webb played well last week.
We're gonna go team old guys. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Stuart Sink.
No, I'm not playing Stuart Sink.
Tony Finau, you want to go for him? I don't know if I'd do it again with Finau. which now I say that I have to bat him next week.
I don't mind Finau. What did he gain with his irons this week? Or losing?
So he gained half a stroke per round, so about two. Gained half a stroke around the greens.
Okay.
Gained a little putt eight. I mean, he gained everything. Just nothing spectacular. I mean, a lot of it came today, though.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
All right. Maybe it's one more week of Finau for me, but okay. I'm getting sick of kind of.
Yeah, trust me. I got plenty.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating betting on Tony Finau.
Oh yes, no shit.
Yeah, but I probably will go one more time and see what happens. But yeah,
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
All right. Want to take one more break and end the show.
All right. Listen, did you guys know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without the added security, might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history will completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing speed. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you got to do is tap a button. You're instantly protected. You won't even know what's on. So stop sharing with the world everything you stream, search for, and buy. Take back your privacy today with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. And use promo code SGP to claim 70% off savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP.
Kat, got anything else?
No.
No. I don't have anything else. Looking forward to Colonial. And,
yeah, I am too. Yeah,
back tomorrow with a very special guest who was unable to join us for the PGA Championship.
But, I didn't even know that shit until you texted me that the other day. I completely
forgot. Oh, you had no idea he was coming on?
No, I completely forgot. Okay. What was funny is, so, never mind, I'll talk to you offline about it. But, I completely fucking forgot until you texted me that. And, all right, yeah, it'd be nice to hear how the deep dish was.
Yes, and how strict the ring of the field was, too. So. Exactly. All right, well, then that's it, and then we'll talk to you tomorrow night for DFS show.
That's it. All right, so go make sure you go click Steve's article. I know he just gave a breakdown, but it's even more in-depth on there, so go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and go read Steve's preview article. You can't find anything better in the industry. I don't give a shit what anybody else says. And you know where to find me, boss_cap on Twitter. So, yeah, that's it. Other than that, nice recap of the week, and on to Colonial. Let's break them fucking books.